Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and pastor of Grace Valley Christian Center, located in Davis, California. Today, Pastor Matthew preaches on the subject of a sound mind with part two of this message entitled, Medicine for Mental Health. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16. Now, here's our teacher, Pastor P.G. Matthew.
I said Obama was asked the question, something like, when does life begin? After 40 million abortions since Roe versus Wade, when does life begin? So that person is a person, therefore receive the rights of a person. And Mr. Obama said, that is a question to be addressed to someone who is above my pay grade. I don't know. That's called stupidity, depraved mind. The answer is at conception. That's the answer. A simple answer, sir. So educated we are, we have lost common sense. 40 million murders, and I believe God will judge such shedding of blood in this country and Europe. So I spoke this morning about depraved mind and sound mind. And I want to speak to you again about illustrating this from the life of David. The reason for that is David was a believer. The Holy Ghost came upon him. 2 Samuel 16:13. And he had a Bible, which he was to read every day that he may govern justly. And he had prophets, he had priests to help him discover the will of God. But because of his sins that he committed against God's word, he had more, six wives or more, 10 concubines, we discover. And he committed adultery. He deceived, he murdered. And as a result, his mind became dull, unable to understand and judge correctly. This is what will happen. Sin makes mind dull. But we are not stopping our life. We are living, we are making decisions, but now with a stupid mind we are making stupid decisions which bring great shame and loss and destruction for generation to come. Pleasures of sin for a little season, but you get stupid mind, foolish mind. So I want to prove it to you. Turn with me to 2 Samuel, because this is very applicable to believers who sin. And I have seen people who had a crystal clear mind, gradually, as time went on, it became dull and became its opposite, slow. But it's changing. And stupid decisions made. And so what I'm saying to you is very important. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story. The story of Amnon, who loved Tamar. And he was counseled to pretend to be sick. And the king comes. Verse 6. When the king came to see him, Amnon said to him, I would like my sister Tamar to come and make some special bread in my sight so I may eat from her hand. He's pretending. He's deceiving. But David lost his common sense. You don't have to be a Christian to understand that this is not the right way to do. A young man and a young woman alone in a house, things will happen. But he became stupid. What happened to the Holy Ghost that was upon him? What happened to the Bible reading? He lost, his mind became dull. He tells the girl to go, who a virgin daughter was raped. Believers, when they sin, they become stupid. And chapter 13, verse 23, 2 years later, Absalom, whose sister was raped by Amnon. And he comes to the king, you know, I'm going to have a feast. And I want all of you to come. And so that might be too much. Well, I want all the sons to come. I want Amnon to come. And he lets the sons go. Stupid. If he had thought about it, he wouldn't have sent Amnon. You lose your head, sir. All that little sin that we do, you don't know what happens. It numbs your brain. And you know what happened. He was killed. And did David discipline Amnon? No. The book said, kill him. But God killed him anyway. Did the king administer justice when Absalom killed? No, sir. The book says, kill him. He has no regard for the glory of God and for his law. You become stupid. Turn quickly to 14th chapter. Absalom goes to Geshur, and the father is so lovesick, and he wants to see this son. And the son is brought back. And 14th chapter, verse 33, he kisses the son. That means no action taken, complete forgiveness. You lose your head, sir. You love your sons more than the glory of God. You lost your head. How many of us love our children more than God? That we did not administer discipline. And chapter 15, 4 years, Absalom conducts a campaign, turning Israel against David. And the stupid king has no clue. Everybody else knew. He has no clue. You have any clue what your kids are doing? She said, I was at the library studying, and you just believed it. They give you stories. And Absalom says, you know, I made a vow. So I want to go to Hebron to celebrate. The guy has no clue. He said, go in peace. And he becomes king. He comes back. And he rapes his concubines. In disgrace, David, barefooted, goes away. Cluelesser. When we begin to sin, this thing goes away. It's pathetic. And turn to chapter 16. I want to tell you the story. There was a guy by name Ziba, the steward of Mephibosheth. And this guy meets the fleeing king with a lot of donkeys, 200 loaves of bread, cakes of raisin, and a skin of wine that belonged to his master, Mephibosheth. He brings it as bribe. And then he slanders Mephibosheth. King has no clue. He takes the bribe with no understanding, transfers all the properties of Mephibosheth to this crooked Ziba. Lost your head, sir. You cannot even make simple decisions. I said, we are not standing still. We are making decisions with stupid mind. You are marrying that person, then you shouldn't be marrying that person. You are entering into that business, you shouldn't be entering into that business. You are investing your money when you shouldn't be investing with that person. You are doing it, buying and selling, marrying and giving in marriage, going and coming, planting and harvesting. And you discover it was all done with foolishness. For your everlasting sorrow and shame and destruction. And turn to chapter 24. There, something came over the king and he said, I want to take a census. When God did not say you must take a census, you trust in God. And Joab said, hey, that's wrong. That's wrong. But he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. Stupid mind, foolish mind, against God, against the Holy Ghost, against the revealed scripture, against the prophets. And it took about 10 months to do the counting. And all of a sudden, conscience stricken. But in the process, 70,000 people were killed. Stupid decision. And you are to be killed too. Except for God's mercy that spared him, sir. Friends, if you are a Christian, don't think you are making decision wisely. Stop sinning. Repent. Ask God to forgive. A sound mind with which we make decisions which will have blessings. You didn't want to kill Amnon, God killed him. You didn't want to kill Absalom, God killed him. You didn't want to kill Adonijah, God killed him. God said, sword shall not depart from your house. You sow wind, and what is that, sir? Reap whirlwind, sir. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. What you sow, that you will reap. His mind became unsound, not able to discern reality. This is what happens to a believer. The Holy Spirit never departed from David as he departed from Saul. But all these years, he was grieved. How come you are depressed? How come you are not happy? Give me the reason. Holy Spirit is grieved due to sin. So we are told, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you are sealed to the day of redemption. You can never be happy when the Spirit of God grieves. God rejected Saul, but God disciplined David. Oh, but what a discipline. What chastisement. Years of chastisement. Oh, what a fiery trial. Sin dulls and corrupts our minds. We lose ability to discern, to interpret reality. We make decisions. They are decisions that result in great sorrow and loss and shame. We become like the prodigal who lost his mind until he came to himself. Imagine a father, a husband, a pastor who has lost his ability to think correctly because secret sin. And he interprets reality wrongly. Wrong thinking causes wrong decisions, resulting in great loss for generations to come. Did you ever think about that? Your sin may affect future generations. A little pleasure for a little season. Pleasures of sin for a little season cause the joy of the Lord and divine benediction. I said God rejected Saul forever, but God in grace disciplined David. Thank God he did not reject him forever. But let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit grieves because of our sin, life is not pleasant. You can go to all the parties and everything else, spend a lot of money. But listen to what this man experienced. Psalm 32 tells us. Are you experiencing something like this? When I kept silent, I refused to repent. In other words, I refused to own up. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. He was a king. He had everything. Musicians, great food, parties every day, many times. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was set as in the heat of summer. And you can explain anything any way you want, but there is no solution for this problem except true repentance, true confession, true forsaking of sin, and doing the right thing. The reason you are miserable is not physical, but spiritual. So the solution lies in repentance. As God spoke to Cain, if you do what is right, your face will be lifted up. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord shall return. Then the Spirit rejoices in us. The Spirit rejoices in us when we do what the Spirit tells us. You want someone whose mind was right and sound and clear and made decisions that were right? Look to Jesus. Jesus had a sound mind, a perfect mind. And we are told the Spirit of God was upon him. Of wisdom, counsel, understanding, knowledge, of power, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. As a result, he thought God's thought after him. He delighted in the will of God. Turn with me to Psalm 40. Let me read it to you from verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will. O my God, your law is within my heart. Jesus Christ delighted in the will of God. He was clear-minded when tempted. He said, it is written. It is written, it is written. The scripture says differently. And he glorified his Father in temptation. He knew he must die for our sins. At Gethsemane, he resolved to go to Calvary. Friends, do what is right. Not do what makes you feel great. The cross did not make him emotionally high. But he knew it was the will of God, which he himself agreed in the eternal council. And he makes up his mind and he goes to Calvary with a clear mind. At Calvary, he refused to drink mind-numbing drink. And so we see him ministering from the cross to his mother, to the dying thief, and finally, with a clear head, he entrusts his spirit to his Father. His family once thought he was crazy. Mark 3 and verse 21. They came to take him home. And people think I'm crazy. I mean, it's true. Even Christians think. Some people think I'm like Spurgeon, but that's very rare. It's an accident. But you see, when you stand for truth over against a lie, you are seen as crazy. So his family once thought he was crazy. Teachers of the law once thought he was insane. Mark 3:22. The Jews thought he was mad and demon-possessed, John 10. The truth was, Jesus had the perfect mind and perfect understanding of all realities, especially the ultimate reality of his Father. Friends, Jesus Christ came into the world to solve our sin problem, that we may have sound mind. Even the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, we have the mind of Christ. In King James, Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. This is not depraved mind. This is sound mind, which knows God and interprets reality truly in accordance with the Word of God. A mind empowered by the Spirit, and a mind delights in God's Word, not puts up with it. Delights in it. In Mark 5, we read of a madman, a really madman, whose mind was distraught by 6,000 demons in one single person. Friends, the battle is not for your legs, it's for your mind. It's always with reference to your mind. A madman whose mind was destroyed by 6,000 demons. Jesus drove out the demons. Jesus saved him. And now look at him. We see him seated before he was restless. Seated, clothed before he was naked. And now in his right mind. Right mind. Only Jesus Christ can straighten out our crooked, twisted mind into straight and sound mind, that we will be able to make decisions that pleases the Father. Everyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ is like this crazy man. Naked, restless, with a twisted mind. Wandering about, terrorizing the community, lonely, wretched. They are philosophers and scientists and politicians and technocrats, ordinary parents and pastors. Depraved mind, twisted mind. Making stupid and foolish decisions and wasting their life. And you used to come to the end of the life and you look back and you take some pills that will kill your brain. Friends, come to Jesus. He will give you rest. He will clothe your nakedness above all. He will give you a sound mind. So St. Paul says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and King James Version is correct, and of sound mind. In Sanskrit, subodham means good wisdom that comes from the Spirit of the living God. Do you want sound mind, sir? First, I say regeneration. Because every sinner has a depraved mind. What you need is a direct supernatural work of the Spirit upon you to raise you from the dead. And how do you know that you are regenerated by this miracle? You will truly repent and savingly believe in Jesus Christ, who alone is able to straighten out your mind. You go into university and high school, you need wisdom. Sound mind. Stop sinning. Second, be filled with the Spirit, sir. 5:18 of Ephesians speaks, be being filled with the Spirit. It's a continuous imperative. Daily, filled with the Spirit. Moment by moment, be in the Spirit. Holy Spirit of God. Spirit of wisdom and counsel and knowledge and understanding. Spirit of power. Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Study the Bible voraciously, passionately, intelligently. Jesus said, you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. When you read the word of God believingly, prayerfully, it cleans your mind. And you can feel the holiness that you have. I was wondering, I told my wife, how can people read the Bible which I am reading and be crazy and do stupid things and refuse to repent? Everybody else knows your problem except you. You have no clue. You are like Isaac, who is blind and deceived by Jacob. It's amazing. The word is to clean us. Clean our spirit and gives us wisdom. Number four, not only just you read the book and study the book and be a theologian, do what the scripture tells you. Otherwise, there is no effect but divine curse. Number five, friends, find a church. Church that unashamedly, boldly declare the old time gospel, the old book, and let people call you crazy. You read Acts chapter 26. The governor says, Paul, you are a maniac. That's the word that is used. And he said, I am no maniac. And if the world calls you crazy, then that means you are all right. That's all right, sir. They call Jesus Christ crazy. Because you bring conviction to the world that is lost in sin. Find a church. Worship regularly. Get educated in your mind, in terms of the gospel, as it is preached and proclaimed, and receive ministry from other brothers and sisters. Let me tell you, do you have a mirror in bathroom, brother? Why do you have to have a mirror, sir? Yeah. Well, sir, you just don't see yourself without a mirror. People think they know. The thing is, you don't know. And God has given us the body of Christ that loves you enough to come and tell you you have a problem. And you say thank you and take care of it rather than arguing with it. That's why it is important to have vital fellowship with a church that is based on the Holy Scriptures. Above all, friends, believe in the absolute authority of the Word of God. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Pastor, thank you for telling me what God has said. I believe in the authority of the Word of God. I will not put psychology on top of it. Nothing I will put on top of it. God alone is absolute authority. His word is ever settled in heaven. It is the very word of God. To despise God's word is to despise God himself. I will not exalt psychology or anything else, or philosophy or anything else above the very word of God. And by God's grace, He has given me a sound mind. And given you a sound mind. And get a sounder mind. And then you will make better decisions. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be like Jacob at the end of his life. He cannot see, he's frail, and his son Joseph came with two sons, Manasseh on the right, Ephraim on the left of Jacob. But Jacob crossed his hands and put his left hand on Manasseh, right hand on Ephraim. Joseph was angry, but Jacob said, "I know, I know. Lord, help us to grow older and wiser, having insight, understanding, discerning of spirits. I know. You think I'm frail? You think I'm blind? It's all true, but Spirit of God is upon me. I know, I know, I know." Hallelujah. Give us sounder mind. Spirit of the living God, come and rest upon our heads, that we may think your thoughts, will your will, and glorify your name. Bless our young people, O Lord. Help them to make the right decision. Always, in the name of Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory Audio, a part two of this message entitled Medicine for Mental Health. Come back soon for more transforming Bible teaching from Pastor P.G. Matthew.